Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're going to look at the mortgage side a little bit, because if there's anything in the market right now that's making your stomach hurt, it's probably interest rates. So let's get some inside story from Brian Grubbs, and also a really important reminder about your will. Yeah, you want to hear this one. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. If you've never heard of Follow Up Boss, you're going to love it. It's going to get you organized in a way that will actually impact your business for profitability and for better excellence with those you're serving. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. Hello,
good
Brian.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Good.
All right. So what's the G for? It's not like Kenny G. Are you a Gorlick? You know he's from Winston-Salem.
It's Grubbs.
Grubbs. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
How are you this morning?
Oh, it's a great day. You know, it's hard to have a bad Friday.
I mean, it is. And if you're in mortgage, you have to have a positive attitude right now, right?
Yes, you do. You got to keep it very, very positive.
I mean, when did you buy your first house?
Wow. 1997, I think.
What was your interest rate?
Probably 6%.
Hmm.
Shocking, isn't it?
Is that what you're telling people right now? You're like, listen.
Oh, yeah. I tell them it's probably the very best time and, you know, to purchase a property. You know, we're not having to beg people to sell us a house. We're not having to pay $100,000 over asking price.
With all that non-refundable deposit, I will say that due diligence deposit of the last couple of years has just made my stomach hurt. People putting $50,000 and $100,000 down non-refundable makes me sick.
Me too. Well, it puts a lot of pressure on us to make sure that we have fully gotten some money pre-approved so that they don't lose that money. And thank goodness we haven't had anybody that actually lost the money.
Oh, good job. That's a big accomplishment.
Yes. It is scary, you know, because I take that seriously. I feel like it's my money too.
So how long have you been in mortgages, Brian Grubbs?
Since the late 1900s.
And my kids tell me that all the time. They're like, Mom, you were born 5 decades ago. I'm like, you could stop that right now.
1997 is when I got into mortgages. I graduated from NC State with my sociology degree. And there was a guy that worked with my mom in the car dealership. And he had a buddy that was opening up a mortgage company and needed a manager and hired that guy. And my mom kind of took his job. And so he had no idea how to run a mortgage company, but was suddenly the manager of a mortgage company and needed to hire some people. So I was one of the people that he hired. And
so your mother said, take this kid off my hands.
Yeah, get this boy off my tab.
He's got a sociology degree, so he doesn't know anything about finance, but y'all could teach him.
Yeah. Oh, you know what they taught me to do was to go down to the register of deeds and pull mortgages for people with like Ford Motor Credit and City Financial and high interest rate kind of places. We'd come back and look those people's names up in the phone book. You remember those?
Do you remember the phone book? Oh, good old days. It was so easy then. We didn't know how easy we had it.
I know. And so I would call those people and talk them into letting us see if we could save them some money. And then I would hand that person's name and information over to one of the loan officers who just did not, you know, they didn't act like they cared about the people. And the people would call back in and asked for me because I was the one that had talked them into letting us do it to begin with. And, you know, about a month or so of that, and I asked my manager, I said, listen, man, I've got all these people calling me back and your loan officers aren't calling them. Let me be a loan officer. So he said, all right.
So what was the excuse those loan officers gave for not wanting to talk to these people that you had found?
I have no idea. You know, just busy, you know.
You mean laziness?
Lazy.
So lazy has existed before Facebook and Instagram and all the excuses we have now. Who knew?
How about that?
So you actually became a loan officer so you could serve the people that you had uncovered for other loan officers.
Yeah.
Because you know, they were calling realtors, but you know, realtors got in the business, a lot of them, because they had a terrible realtor or saw a terrible realtor and said, you know what, I can do this better. And so that's where they get in and do a great job. And so for you, that's almost, well, it's 25 years later.
Yeah.
You're at your silver anniversary. Oh.
Silver. I'm feeling a little silver. You got a little silver. I mean, I'm working with some silver.
I do see it. See, but I go, bottle blonde covers up my silver. See, y'all can, men can do the silver fox routine. The ladies, we have to invest in our hair.
So. This is Arctic blonde is what this is.
Arctic blonde. I like that.
Arctic blonde.
My hairdresser is called the Blonde Whisperer. I'll have to ask him about that and make sure he watches this episode.
Yeah.
So thank you for being willing to come on the show a little bit here. And, you know, our listeners are always looking for the stories that they just still can't believe happened. But before we dig into your story, I do want to talk about the market a little bit, because we are currently living through like the weirdest information era ever, where we're seeing political outcomes determine what is actually happening in the economy, which is so bizarre to me that people are so low information, they're not digging in. And we're recording this at the end of October 2022. So for all of our listeners and viewers out there, there's your timestamp. And we're currently sitting at what, like a 7%-ish on a 30-year fix, depending on, of course, all the factors. It depends on credit score. It depends on the loan type, down payment, and everything else. And so we should always remember that piece when we're talking interest rates. But I personally think we're going to get closer to 8.5 before we see some settle out from the Fed. Where do you think we're going to go?
I'm hoping that we'll stay in the high sevens, but it's hard to time the market, hard to know exactly what the Feds are going to do. You know, a lot of times it seems like the Fed's been a whole lot more transparent, so it hasn't been shocking.
I don't
market.
Know, but every time Powell opens his mouth, the market throws up. So Powell, he's got no business in that job, but that's a whole different rabbit hole for a whole different conversation, probably a whole different audience, because I think our audience is probably not as nerdy as we are.
With the exception of the last Fed increase rate change, it seemed like the market already had the rate increase priced in. And whenever they came out and raised interest rates, our interest rates actually got better.
Well, the market has already priced in the next three, but the question is, will they pivot based on political pressure? And I think they're probably going to wind up pivoting, because I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, but BlackRock is asking the Fed to go ahead and pivot. And BlackRock has way too much power in the world right now. So yes. I thought that was interesting. So now I'm staring at the ticker, watching what's happening. I used to work on Wall Street. So when you got into mortgages, I was living in Manhattan. So I have a whole text thread of Wall Street nerds in addition to my housing text threads. And so I'm like watching this, like I'm watching a tennis match of who's on first. But the reality is people got to have somewhere to live. And I think they forget that too. Wouldn't you say that when you're talking to somebody, if they get too strung out on the numbers, they forget that what they're buying is the place where they're going to cook supper.
Exactly. And a home is still the very best investment. And it's, I mean, they're going to live. So they're going to pay a mortgage somewhere.
Right.
It just depends on if it's their mortgage or their landlord's.
100%. Because that's 100% interest rate when you're paying the landlord's rent.
Exactly.
And I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm a landlord too. I love it when people rent my properties, but I kind of have this hope they'll pick it up and go after their own place at some point.
People need to be able to build wealth and with appreciation. If somebody puts a 5% down payment and an average house appreciates a 5%, they're getting a 100% return on their money annually.
And so y'all should catch what he said there, because, of course, Brian's in the Raleigh, North Carolina market. I'm in Concord, North Carolina, but our markets tend to be pretty, I'd call them blue chip markets, because we're not super exciting and we're not super scary. So as markets go up, we go up, and as markets go down, we go down, but we're not the peaks and valleys like you've seen in places like Phoenix or in Orlando, where you've got just an entirely different market environment. And so when you look at historic numbers on house price appreciation, historically, you're looking at 4 to 5% over time. Of course, some years are up, the COVID era, a complete aberration. And as we see things probably pull back a little bit over the next 12, 24 months, it's going to come down. But I don't think it's going to crater, because it's not a cratering market. It's a little bit of compression with people in their own personal situations. But 5% is pretty reasonable. And in fact, we're now seeing treasury notes get closer to 5% too. So would you rather invest in your house that you could live in or buy T-bills, which will just sit over there and basically tread water? I mean, I think people just forget that piece about real estate. It's not that it's about the numbers all the time. It's you're going to use this investment. And that's pretty cool.
Exactly. It's something that you can touch and feel, you know, not something on a balance sheet, or you get your market statement and you see, oh, I've lost money, you know, but it's just not something that you can touch and feel and right. have and own and have pride and ownership and live in and enjoy.
If you've ever wondered why some realtors do more business than others, then you pay attention to them and do what they do. In fact, one of my favorite friends in real estate is Deborah Beagle. She's in the Nashville area, and she will tell you, as managing broker of the Ashton Group, that the agents who join her team on Follow Up Boss are getting an average of 2 homes under contract in the first 90 days. If you want to be like Miss Beagle, go to followupboss.com/crazy. You'll be really glad you checked it out. And frankly, so will your clients, because they'll get to use you and be amazed by your real estate awesomeness. Go to followupboss.com/crazy. And if you lose money one day because the numbers don't look good, then you get to go outside and plant some tomato plants and you're fine. But you can't do that with a stock portfolio or with T-bills.
Exactly.
So, of course, Brian, you know, this is the show where we talk about the things nobody talks about on HGTV or out there in the public sphere. So my viewers and listeners are always interested in what have you seen in 25 years? I know you've seen more than the usual shenanigans of the buyer who looks good and then goes and buys a car or buys a house full of furniture and make stupid mistakes. I want to know the crazy thing. So tell us what you've seen in the Raleigh world.
Oh, my goodness. Just some of the crazy things like that we've had to do and hurdles we've had to jump through. I mean, I've closed a mortgage loan at a hospital with somebody passing a kidney stone. I've had a seller die. The craziest, probably here's the craziest story. I had a seller die on the day of closing. She was an heir, and it was her son that she inherited the home from. And in his will, he was going to will the house to his brother, who had already passed away as well. So mama was the remaining heir, and mama passed away.
Out of order. So wait a minute. Son dies. Mama inherits the house from son because her other son was already dead.
Yes. And so the son that passed away was going to will his house to her. He was a single guy, no children, and was going to will it to his brother, who had also passed away before him. And so mama was the one that was the current owner of the property. So the next heir was someone, a hippie living off the grid. So we had to go find this man out in the woods. So we brought this man down out of the woods and we sent a notary out there to have him notarize these documents. He gives him an ID. It's not all that legible. So the notary gets back, looks up his driver's license number, and it had expired about 5 or 6 years ago.
So is it a homemade ID or just that it'd been washed that many times?
There's no telling what had happened to this ID out there in the woods. So they had to go back out in the woods and find this man again and bring him back down. And what he ended up doing was just signing off his rights to his son, who actually did have his act together. So this son, who had a hippie daddy that probably never anticipated inheriting anything at all from him, suddenly had a $300,000 found money from the sale of this house. And probably whatever grandma had going on too, because he's likely the only heir to grandma. So maybe $1 million, sudden change of course for him.
So, all right, first of all, let's just discuss that hippie was not very good at being off the grid if he could be found in the course of a closing. So we'll just throw that out there, because if you're off the grid, you should be really hard to find. And if a notary can find you, that you didn't do such a great job. But I'm very curious here about what the process is to prove who you are if there is no current license and somebody's way off the grid, mama's dead and brothers are dead. What steps was he supposed to go through? Did he have to go to the courthouse and find a birth certificate, or what were they using?
I'm sure that they, I was not as involved in whatever identity proof that he was able to come up with, but I'm sure he was able to come up with with enough to satisfy the fact that he could sign his rights back over to his son, which he just didn't want to participate at all in any inheritance or any money. Apparently, he just was anti-money as well.
Well, you know, you don't see that very often when you're dealing with real estate. That's a pretty rare occurrence.
Yes, it is. You know, there's a lot of greed in the world today, and $300,000 is some life-changing money for most
people.
Well,
it is. I mean, but you know what? It's like people who win the lottery get that giant check, and then suddenly they don't know what to do or how to behave, and then it runs through their fingers really quickly. But back to the original scenario, this brother should have updated his will.
Yes.
And I'm curious, why is it that mortgage people and title companies don't look at wills? What do you think, Brian? Because maybe we should be looking at that in the course of real estate if we're going to have this scenario could have been avoided if the will was current, I would think.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And I just think people feel like they're going to live forever, and people need to get their house in order. They need to have all that kind of stuff set up and be able to just keep everything organized and be able to get their hands on important documents. I keep a fireproof safe at my house and put all the important stuff like that, like our will, which I probably need to update as well.
I mean, I was just realizing mine hasn't been updated since my daughter was born, and which means my son is not in it. So I should probably go make sure that he has access to something, because depending on what day it is, she may or may not help him out with something. So I better fix that. But when you see scenarios like this, though, does it change your conversation with your clients? Do you put into your little checklist, hey, y'all, I went through this scenario one time. Maybe y'all should update your will while you're pulling every other document the underwriter and closer are going to want, because obviously the mortgage side wants all of your paperwork. On the real estate side, we don't get even a fraction of the information that y'all get, and we don't want it, to be quite fair. I'd rather not have it. Thank you.
Yes. Every loan closing that we have kind of brings on something else. You know, it's just a lot of times it's just something that kind of sticks in my head. And it's the thing, the challenges that we have to overcome, that or the things that hinder us from being able to do a loan closing, that just kind of get stuck in my head. And I think, oh, my goodness, if it's a flip property, I need to know the timing for this or that. Or if it's separate parcels, do they, you know, are they touching one another? Are they separated? Or, you know, just so many different little things that just kind of like an alarm goes off in my head. And I think, oh, my goodness, we've got to think about this, or we got to think about that. Or there's so many little parts of guidelines that are little eye gotchas that you just learn, and it takes you 10 or 20 or 25 years to kind of get all those little alarms in the back of your mind.
And then something else comes along and adds a new alarm, because that's always the fun part of this business. So before I let you off the show, and of course, most of my episodes are still fairly recent, so if somebody finds this in the distant future, then you can ignore it. But I'm curious as to what you are helping people work through as they figure out, maybe they want to sell the house they're in, but they've got a 3% interest rate, but they'd like to capture the equity and go ahead and buy the dream house on acreage, or they want to downsize and they're nervous about giving up their low interest rate for a higher interest rate. How are you helping people through that process right now? What's the best advice you give them?
You know, it's a fantastic time to purchase a house, you know, because you're not having to compete as much and not having to overpay as much. And I think sellers are a little more willing to participate in helping maybe somebody buy down their interest rate a little bit. There's, you know, strategies for helping people buy down interest rates, and, you know, equities at an all-time high. So people are able to sell their houses and capture a tremendous amount of equity. And if they want to move to a dream home, an interest rate, I would not let an interest rate keep me from doing that. The interest rates are something that you can refinance. You're not married to your interest rate. And as soon as interest rates get better, you can refinance it. Go ahead and get your dream house. You can refinance your interest rate. You can't overpay for a house.
Or if rates go up, you'll be really glad you went ahead and locked in now instead of waiting, because we just never know what's going to happen in the rate environment. So you always remember, my viewers and my listeners, remember this, whatever the rate is today, could stay the same. It could go down. It could go up. But what matters is the payment when you're looking at the house and what's going to make sense to you. So, Brian, if somebody's looking for mortgage information in the Raleigh area or wants to reach out to you for anything at all, what's the best way for them to find you?
Look, just give me a call. Our number is 919-866-0212 or check us out online at RaleighMortgageGroup.com.
And of course, all of Brian's contact information is in the show notes for this episode. So if you weren't writing that down or you heard the 866 and thought he was a spammer, you got to remember that wasn't the area code. So go look at his information and reach out to him for any of your questions. Brian, thank you for coming on the show. And I look forward to seeing you in person sometime.
It was a pleasure, Lee. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Make sure you subscribe, friends. Say something nice about Brian in the comments, and I'll see you next time.
Okay. Now, don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism, and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy, and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.